Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hi folks, I'm Jack Kennedy and welcome to Farm Tech Talk, the livestock show once again. The weather is glorious and there are more and more animals appearing in fields right around the country. Shout out to our supporters, Axla, Grassland Agro and Bank of Ireland for helping us make this show happen. Later in the show, we'll be joined by regular contributor Sean McMahon from Grassland Agro to discuss all things fertilizer. Right now, I'm going to start as normal with the quick fire questions for Adam, Darren and Aidan. Remember, email your questions to farmtechtalk@farmersjournal.ie or WhatsApp 086-836-6465. Adam, two quick fires for you. Ask Adam, how has the beef price rise impacted on the Glanbia Keepack deal that was launched a few years ago? Adam, just remind us on what was that? The dairy beef deal.
Yes, that's the Glanbia 2020 program along with Keepack and Glanbia, and they would have built in some base prices into that and some bonuses as well. That was sort of modeled, it seems like a long time away now at the moment, but that was sort of modeled around a 375 sort of a base, and if the base was over that, the bonus was less. If it was under that, Keepack and Glanbia were sort of bringing you up to that 375 base plus bonuses after that. My understanding is that they've increased that baseline a lot since that, obviously to keep in tow with what's happened at the moment in the market. I don't know the exact figures on that, Jack, but okay. I'll dig them out and I'll come back to you next week.
Nice one. Second question I have for you, Adam. I have 10 Aberdeen Angus bullocks. Should I sell flat or go on the grid?
Yeah, it's a good question. I'm getting that question a lot these last couple of weeks, Jack, and there's a lot of flat selling going on at the moment. And really, in terms of Aberdeen Angus, look, at the majority of them are coming from the dairy herd, and you're looking at O grades. You're looking like an O equals is going to be minus 18, an O minus is going to be back at minus 24. So really, if you can sell them flat, it's probably all the better, because you'll forfeit your quality assurance payment if you're heading on the grid with them, because if they're grading less, you're getting paid less. So really, a flat sell is guaranteeing you that. And there seems to be a lot of flat selling out there at the moment. Factories are willing to go that extra bit to get the cattle and use the flat selling as an enticement in to sell them. So yeah, I'd say go flat.
Good man, Adam. Thanks for that. Back in a minute to you, Darren. Three quick fires for you. Could Darren give an example how the reference figure is achieved for the new suckler scheme? Darren, John Fitz has emailed in this. I'm not 100% sure when he says the reference figure. I presume he means the reference years or something like that. Maybe talk to me about how the reference year is, or the reference numbers achieved in the new suckler scheme.
Yeah, I'd say so, Jack, because there's probably there's a fair bit of questioning on that. So if we just take 3 years, for example, it's designed to give flexibility and trying to give the best balance or the most reflective or accurate picture of suckler cows. So we take the last 3 years and just say John Fitz had 20 cows, just say in 2018, 25 cows in 2019 and 35 in 2020. Right. 80 cows altogether divided by 3 for the 3 years, it gives them 27 cows. I'm presuming that they're going to round it up from 26 points up to 27 okay. cows. So it's, okay. that's generally, if you only calved cows for 2 years, you can take the 2 years for that check. So you get
okay. Nice one. The other quick fire for you, Darren, is spring lamb quotes at 750. That's no good. Will quotes rise and get closer to Easter?
Yeah, Jack, I'd say they will. It might be as we get closer to Easter. It could be actually after Easter when there's a void in supply. Same thing happened last year. Spring lambs opened about 750. Stayed around that over the Easter time, and it was actually after that when supplies got really tight that it pushed over 8 euros. The reason local factories have it in at 750, Jack, is they have no real sort of interest. They want some numbers, but they don't want a major number. They probably will, I'd say, work on these at 780 euros even next week to put a few aside for the Easter trade.
Thanks, Darren. Back to you in a minute. Aidan, one quick fire for you. Ask Aidan, what was the biggest change he spotted in the nitrates derogation review? So the review got extended again, Aidan. What was the biggest change you spotted?
Jack, like in fairness, most of the stuff that's in the review in the nitrous action plan was well flagged, you know, so there's no great surprises in it. Probably the biggest change is probably the banding in terms of the cows. You know, that's going to have a big impact on a lot of dairy farmers, especially those that are higher yielding. And about 20% of the herds are roughly are going to be in that new high category. Now, it's not coming into play until next year, so they have 12 months to get their, you know, get a plan in place. But that's going to affect a lot of farmers because they're going to find themselves over the 250 kilos of N very, very quickly, or if not, they're going to find themselves in derogation territory if they have avoided going into derogation up to now.
Good stuff, Aidan. Back to you in a minute. Adam, coming back to you again. We'll start off with the fertiliser job. Any of the bag stuff gone out in the fields up around you yet?
Yeah, a little bit, Jack. Not that much, to be honest. Obviously, we've been in the paper this week about our survey. It was taken out to farmers. A little bit alarming based on the percentage of dry stock farmers that haven't done anything on fertilizer yet. And it's a little bit worrying, to be honest, in terms of getting out there now. Look, at regardless, I have it in beef management notes this week, Jack, in terms of regardless of the price, we need to grow grass in April and May. April and May are two peak months for grass growth. We need to get cattle out. So it's, look, at regardless, and it's hard to say that, I suppose, regardless of price, because farmers will say, like, how do you pay that for it? But it's still one of the cheapest feeds we can grow, I guess. And look, we need to be getting out there with fertiliser. Dry stock farmers need to be getting out there with fertiliser. And silage ground, we've said this again and again and again, silage ground is of the utmost importance. Jack, we don't want to get to the situation right next November, next December, next January, where a farmer has no other option but to sell his cattle, or her cattle, in that there's no fodder left in the yard. Because all of a sudden, when you go to the mart, you don't get a good price, you come home, you feed them on. Well, you don't want to be in a situation where you have no options, because then the market will dictate what you get, and you're really a real price taker then. So look, have enough silage in the yard for next winter, that's very important.
Don't become a forced price seller, as you're saying. Yeah, I mean, Adam, in terms of prices, like, I mean, are the dairy calves cheap enough for you yet?
Yeah, they're depending on the quality, Jack. I see some prices in Ballygem stuff there this week, you know, 5 euros, 6 euros. I seen Carrigallon, Saharda, you know, Frisian bull cows, light Frisian bull cows, 2 euros. Look, they're probably the exception, but you're probably talking exporters at the moment are probably in around that 40 euros for that sort of good export type Frisian bull calf. And yet, you know, Hereford and Angus is, and it's a good sign to see farmers willing to pay good money for good Hereford and Angus cows. A lot more of them out on the market in the last 7 days. It's probably pulled the price back a little. You could probably pick up, you know, those Angus and Herefords back at 180, maybe even 160 this week. And whereas a couple of weeks ago, they were probably up at 250.
Correct. And I'd say there'll more of them come on the market, Adam. We were chatting about it with Declan last week. You know, it's really, like, from the dairy herd's perspective, they're only really coming to the market now in the last week, but I think even more so in the next 10 days, there'll be more of that type of an animal coming through. We'll start with the factory trade, Adam. Like, what, and we'll come back onto the mark then as a result of that. Just for heavy cattle, is it still hot for the heavy cattle in the factories and in the mart?
It is, Jack. I suppose, look at it, it's really positive there in terms of Donegal moved up another 5 cents this week, up to 490 for heifers. They're on a base of 485 for bullocks. General run of bullocks probably 465, 475. General run of heifers are probably 470 to 480. A little bit slacker in the south. We'll say the 3 day week last week would have lent into factories a little bit in terms of having a little bit of an overlap this week. That tended to be more in the south maybe than more in the north. Factories still very hungry for cattle in the north. A massive appetite for cows You know, you're talking 460 there for ewe grading cows. Talking to one man this week, he got 420 for a mix of O's and P's, Frisian cows that were bought in the back end. They're leaving money, Jack, you know, in terms of leaving at 420. It's a real solid price for those O and P's. And also, I guess, Easter, it's only 2.5 weeks away. We see a lot of offers in supermarkets across the water and in Ireland based on specific cuts of beef. And factories at the moment are in full swing now, it will say, processing cattle for that Easter market. So that has left a little bit more appetite again. And look, supplies are tight. Kill went way down last week. That's because of a three-day week. We'd expect it to recover a bit this week. But there's no great shakes of supplies of cattle out there. And as I said, factories mad looking for cows on top of a really good for manufacturing trade.
Adam, for a bundle of Charlie bred suckler stock, like we'll say in Tipperary, bullocks, you know, 400 kilo plus, like we'll say, well fleshed. Like, I mean, did you say 475, 480 for that type of an animal as a kind of a baseline?
Based on numbers, Jack, you'd probably squeeze 475 out of an agent there. You might squeeze haulage or you'll squeeze something on weights or something, you know, but definitely you're up there sort of 470, 470 for them good cattle. And then you add on your 20 cent, obviously, for quality assurance, and you're up to 490, and you add on a bit of grade, then you're across the €5. So you're talking, you'd need to be across €5 for them cattle when you're all in.
Okay, nice one. And then reflect that back on the March trade for me, Adam, like just in terms of like, There was a bit of chat around that the kind of lighter dairy stock were getting a little bit easier to buy.
Yeah, and that's faltering through. I suppose if we look at our map, it's analysis every week, Jack, we split it up into three thirds. We said the top third, the middle third, and the bottom third. If we look at the bottom third, and especially in the lighter categories this week, we're seeing a decrease in price. And that's probably due to maybe a little bit of confidence out around the ring in terms of lighter cattle, 400 kilo cattle. They're long keep cattle. They're probably for the back end or maybe even further away. So a lot of unknowns there. People are talking, you know, €400 a ton for ration next winter. You're talking, you know, silage is going to be very expensive to make. I can't see, if factories don't come out, Jack, with forward contracts for next winter, it'll never happen, because I don't think farmers are going to put in cattle next winter. Look at it, a long time away, and a lot can happen in between that. But definitely at the moment, those 400 kilo cattle, and they would have been traditionally been grass cattle, that would have been a very good trade for that first 2 weeks of April. A little bit shy this week. The 600 kilo cattle, still a very good trade, you know, knocking on the door at €3 a kilo, which is really, really positive for them. You know, those short keep cattle, that goes back to factories looking for cattle for April and May and June, you know, that they really want them for those months.
Yeah. Adam, like there's definitely more of your type of cattle coming out. I mean, you know, just driving up and down the country there again over the last couple of days, like there's bundles of 20, 30, 40 kind of suckler bred Wainlands coming around in batches, like, you know what I mean, doing a nice job and grazing at this, because it's exceptionally dry. It's exceptionally good weather for the end of March.
Absolutely, and they'll do a serious thrive, Jack. I remember a couple of farmers in the Better Farm program, and they were on a really good thing in terms of getting out heifer calves early, weanlings, and pulling the pin on them maybe around the month of May or June. They were getting maybe 150 kilos, a really cheap weight gain on them, and then pulling the pin, as I said, in May, you know, when a price is probably pretty positive up there. We're looking in the west, maybe towards the northwest, but we're a little bit slower again in terms of getting cattle out. But I would imagine this week is giving a totally dry week, another dry weekend. You'll have a lot of fertilizer and a lot of stock that's going in the west this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, Adam, you've a webinar coming up on the grass job. Is that next Wednesday?
That's next Wednesday night on Tullamore Farm. Darren was down there. We had a chat, I suppose, with Darren about, you know, maybe what sort of schemes is there. There's different, you have the tillage scheme, you have multi-species sward scheme, you have red clover. We had a bit of a chat on that. We had a bit of a chat with Sean about what he's doing on Tullamore Farm and what different he's doing this year versus other years. And we spoke to a chat around silage and silage quality and silage fertilizer, you know, just in terms of keeping the basics right, getting the slurry out. We can't say that enough, and getting that fertilizer out as well to make sure we cut enough silage within the next couple of weeks. You know, it's not that far around the corner in terms of, and using this opportunity, I suppose, ground is dry now, Jack. I would have said to you 2 weeks ago in the west, ground was too wet to get slurry tankers out. Ground at the end of this week will be perfect for slurry tankers, so we should use that opportunity to get it out.
I leave you on this because I know you're under pressure, Adam. The boats, there's a couple of boats leaving the Green Isle. Is it this week they're going?
Yeah, loaded this week, Jack, really positive. A load of Frisian bulls, and we can't get enough of them out of the country. Frisian bulls headed for Libya, 1,500 of them out of Fines this week. And another load actually headed to Jordan. Continental Weanlands, Aberdeen Angus, Herefords, and some Continentals, probably O's and R's, maybe that grade 2 sort of a Weanland. But again, very, very positive. See that new market emerging, another 1,500 or 1,600. And my sources tell me that boat will say that's headed to Libya, will be back again in 3 weeks' time for another load. So look at live exports are going well. We're up 11%. We're up 3,500 head to Libya for the first 2 months of the year. Calves are going well as well as that. Netherlands is up 9,000 calves in the first 2 months, which again is really, really positive. So the only negative to all that is Northern Ireland. Northern Ireland is down 5,000 head based on the first 2 months of the year. But again, we've compensated with that through other markets that are coming in.
Well, man, Adam, thanks for that. Chat to you next week. Darren, in terms of the cap job, we'll say there's a lot of talk of kind of going back to revisit the whole cap. And I suppose with the whole issue around feed and food security in Europe now, talk to me about, there was a couple of cap meetings this week. Did you get any feel for kind of the chat at some of the meetings?
Yeah, Jack, sure there was. Sure, look at Barry Murphy was down in Wexford, and as expected, it was somewhat similar to Tipperary in that farmers there feel that they're being left aside by CAP. They feel this, their livelihoods are being, I suppose, eroded in this. There would be a lot of higher value entitlements down there, and they're going to see a significant cut over the next few years in their family farm income. And like, it's not, I suppose, that a lot of full-time farmers as well, Jack, that is, it's a hard or a heavy blow, so it is to them. And a lot of farmers are very concerned about what it's going to mean. And a lot of the questioning or a lot of the comments from the floor is that the department on one hand is saying that we want more rewilding, rewetting, we want more for the environment. And look, yeah, to be fair, a lot of the farmers acknowledging that a lot has to be done for the environment, that we're in a whole different scenario. Yeah. But it very much contradicts the message coming out this week that we want more tillage, we want multi-species swaths, we want more forage, we want to become more self-sufficient, we want to grow more food in Europe, we want to reduce our dependency on imports. And that was, I suppose, it was like putting a square peg into a round hole, is that farmers just finding it hard to come to terms with how the two of these can now coexist together and how farmers down there are expected to keep the tap turned on and no money coming in. That's the big one. Like,
I mean, it's probably was there one over the west of the country this week, Darren? That probably was a different type of story, was it?
Yeah, and you look at, like, fellas have said to me, Jack, that like, and even comments from, I rang a few farmers after the Wexford one, and they said, "Ash, you're grand up there, Ash, you're grand over that side of the country." Mm. But like, there was a lot of niggling things in the one in Castlebar as well. Like, and a lot of that is coming from, yes, there's more money flowing back, say, to, I suppose, maybe the hills, or, and look at even within counties, you don't have to go too far from Wicklow, so that there might be more money in Wicklow. But in some of them areas, what farmers are saying is that, take mature areas, their hands are very much tied in the last few years. Now farmers are concerned about, say, the whole thing around rewetting, and it's not just CAP, say, because CAP does have, I suppose, it's the carrot approach to trying to get fellas in. But Amy's front page from a few weeks ago, was it Amy or Noel? I suppose it doesn't make a lot of odds who, but saying this, if Ireland didn't take up so much rewetting by 2030 and another target in 2050, that we would be forced, or that to be mandatory rewetting. And a lot of them areas that are maybe going to get some of the higher payments now, they're all prime candidates for these rewetting areas or for so-called rewilding. Mm. So there's a bit of sort of angst and a bit of concern around that, because a lot of farmers will say that when the first mature designation came in, should it be 20, 25? It could even be 30 years ago now, Jack. We might look into that for one of these talks to see when it came in. But when that came in, there was a lot of, I suppose, maybe a lot of talk about this was going to be great for farmers. It was going to
new revenue give them an income.
Exactly. But it soon became the norm, and the payment levels for it just sort of waned off and disappeared. Yeah. And no different than in other schemes. And the concern is now is that you bring in a new designation to land, that will there be a payment for the next few years? And then that becomes the new norm or what's expected. Mm. And like, they're all very real concerns.
Yeah. Darren, schemes, I mean, I see there on the Inside Bank, is there a new BBES open? That's the suckler for weighing calves job, is it?
Exactly, Jack. So that's the National Exchequer funding, say 40 million in funding, 1980 euros per cow for weighing, feed and meal, vaccinating, and fecal egg counts.
Okay.
Actually, a few quid for your own lads as well. Well, there could be some of your own lads, some beef farmers, and the dairy calf welfare scheme was opened as well. So okay. It's just a tick box exercise for the moment, in that farmers have to just tick whether they want to participate for this year coming. The dairy beef one is 20 euros per head on 40 casts, so a maximum of 800. That's up from 20 on 20 casts previously, Jack.
So it's double the money.
Say, exactly. A dairy bred calf or a calf, a crossbred calf from a dairy cow is eligible for it. So look, I think okay. That was undersubscribed the last time. You might see now that there's a higher payment for it. You might see more, but there two of the schemes, the 25th of April is the closing date. So look, at what I'd be saying to farmers, when any of them things come out, do it now. Don't leave it and don't be waiting. There's also actually, Jack, nice bit around entitlements this week in the paper, and we've talked about that before. Yeah. I caught up with a few auctioneers around the country, and they were saying that there's a lot of disruption caused by the proposals coming down along the line. And it's funny, some of them I hadn't sort of maybe fully tuned in on, Jack, to be honest. That Lee Mullins from Cork was saying that he has a lot of farmers selling entitlements now that wouldn't have been in the case in the past. And he was saying that the reason they're selling now is that they're getting, say, the net value plus the greening. Yeah. And that some of them are afraid that next year, that because you'll be taking the eco scheme, possibly the Chris outers, that they'll be better off than
chancing it now, what the value is now like.
Exactly. Yeah. And given the 20% clawback. David Quinn said similar down in Carnew, and he said finding it a bit harder to shift maybe high value entitlements. Now still has homes for them, and the same way with Lee Mullins, but just slower to shift them, about 2.5 times their value.
Yeah,
and say for around maybe 250 to 400 your worth of entitlements. So it was interesting on that side. Leasing, no real change. Sort of, if I'm leasing off you, Jack, and you're taking an entitlement of me worth, say, the national average on the 250 up to maybe 350, I'm keeping 40%, you're keeping around 60%. Go up to entitlements worth maybe 500, 600, 650. The owner is keeping 70-75%, and the person renting them in is keeping about 20-25%, and in a low value entitlements it's roughly 50-50.
Okay. No, we'll come back to that definitely in the next week or two. It'll be warming up from now on, Darren. There's not a road around
exactly.
Yeah. Darren, back to basics, like, and some of the stuff that some of the results that came out in our survey this week in terms of sheep farmers, I think over half of them haven't bought fertilizer yet. This is up until last weekend. Half of them haven't bought a bag of fertilizer yet. And 73% they'll said they'll buy less fertilizer. Like, I mean, where does that, what does that signal in terms of what's going to happen, I suppose, on sheep farms through 2022?
Yeah, if you're to ask me, Jack, am I surprised? I'm probably not surprised at that, because if you were to do that survey in a normal year, I'd say that maybe 30 or 40% mightn't have bought a bag at this day of the year. That, now, look, at are in different circumstances at the moment, but some sheep farmers only buy as they need it and buy very low volumes, that they're as close to organic as what you can be. So I suppose we have to, if that figure is on its own in isolation, it is a worrying figure, but there might be a bit of context behind it. I'd be more concerned around the 73% that maybe aren't going to buy as much. Now, look, at every farmer would probably say they're not going to buy as much, but it's how much less.
And
there is a lot of talk in the last week around, and I even talked to farmers that will say, actually, I'll chance this for a few months and see how I go. And like, the risk with that is, if you don't get grass going at the start of the year, you're going to be chasing your tail for the year, like. And look, that's very easy for me and you to say, Jack, like, this, where every farmer,
I know, the money is big. The money going out is big.
Yes,
like,
exactly.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'd be after opinion, Jack, and this might be a hard pill to take for some farmers, but to get a cohort of fertilizer. If you're a farmer that normally, I suppose it depends on your own situation. If you're a farmer that normally spread, just say 5 tonne of fertiliser. Well, then I think that you're going to need 3 tonne of that fertiliser at a minimum. Now, if you're a farmer that spreads 1.5 tonnes, well, then you might get away without anything. So I suppose it's a starting point to the context.
Yeah.
But if you're that farmer that normally spreads 5 tonnes and has bought nothing and is struggling for the money, I'd be sort of veering to, well, something has to change because that system isn't going to work without it. And whether he sells a few animals to try and generate a bit of cash flow to get something moving,
and but reduce
my fear is doing nothing.
Yeah.
Exactly. And try and get through the system that way. But if he does nothing and he's behind in his silage, he's behind on land thrive, he's chasing his tail for the year. And like, there's a lot of concern creeping into the sheep side of things, is that no one knows. And look, it's a long time ahead yet, but with concentrates now tipping 400 euros a tonne and talk that they could be at 450, 480, even 500 at the back end of the year, is will there be a demand for store lambs?
Yeah.
And that's something farmers need to weigh up as well, is this. A lot of farmers are saying, last year, I let them run on and maybe sell stores or see how the year goes on.
Yeah.
If everybody does that and concentrate prices are at the price and maybe farmers haven't applied as much fertilizer, there isn't as much surplus out there, well, then you could be caught the far side. So I would be just cautious of how you're planning and definitely try and do something.
And ultimately, Darren, like, I mean, if you get your fertilizer out in April and May, you're getting better bang for your buck. Like, I mean, you wait until next September, like, and your response to that fertilizer is a lot less. So ultimately, you're not getting the same value for that fertilizer you spread next autumn if you could spread it now in May and June, April, May and June.
Ah, delicious. Like, you're not getting the collar jack. And even if fellas are concerned, and even if they went out in mid-April or coming towards May, where your growth rates are normally, say, without fertilizer, might be at 20, 30 kilos, but with fertilizer and good soil index, pushing up to somewhere between 70 and 100 kilos. Look, at your lads, we're talking higher than that. But like, that's where you need to be to get your silage. Like, and look, one farmer who was going through figures with this week, he was saying that he's going to try and push where it's all possible to put out 80 to 90% of the fertilizer he needs. And he said, look, if he has a bit of surplus grass, he's in an area where there's a lot of dairy farmers, a lot of highly stocked. And he said he feels he'll have no bother selling the bales, selling any surplus.
Yeah.
But he said he wants to leave himself in a position where he isn't interfering too much with his drafting race. And he is buying just nitrogen. He's not buying any compounds because he sees better value, and he hopes sort of around 80% of the nitrogen that he normally applies.
Okay, and the chat is that can won't be available like later on in the summer as well. But anyway, we'll come back to that when it happens, if it does happen. Darren, to finish up, give us a kind of an update in terms of lambing in Tullamore Farm and kind of how it's progressing. It must be really warming up there now.
Yeah, Jack, we were there on Wednesday. We didn't want to be calling into Sean for the next webinar on the 6th of April. We didn't want to be calling in right and peak lambing. Now he was ramping up while we were there. There was 5 yards lambs. I was talking to him yesterday, and that's he's running out 12, 15 yards a day, and it'll be that way over the next week. But look, the conditions are perfect, Jack. Like, he had a yard there on, was born around lambs Tuesday night around 2 o'clock, and he was letting the lambs out Wednesday afternoon. Like you couldn't ask for better than that. Like, it's lambing going okay. Now some lambs are coming a bit heavy. And look, that could be just using good
management. It's management, Darren, and picking the wrong sires and feed them too well. Yeah.
Would you believe, Jack, that the lambs that are coming heavy now, look, we need to look at the figures, but he's putting it back to one Charlie sire, who you'd say would be, because I was jibing him, and I would say, you know, that we bought a Suffolk lamb this year, and I said, Sean, that's you now going for the Suffolk and big lambs. And he said, the Suffolk ram is lambing away, no bother. He said, it's actually a real muscle, Charlie, that they're coming from. Now, I seen lambs, Jack, a couple of days old and super lambs, but as Sean said, you wouldn't want too many of them, like.
Yeah, no, that's it. Like, yeah. Darren, we'll get a better update next week. Aidan, according to the survey of dairy farmers, none of your lads are going to grow the grain that Minister McConnellogue is asking for, and they're going to do less reseeding. Are you surprised?
Sure. I'm not surprised that most area farmers aren't going to start growing grain, Jack. Like, I mean, like their specialty is not growing grain. It's in farming cows and milking cows and I suppose doing a good job at that. So that's not a big surprise to me. The receding one, I suppose, is probably a little bit different, you know. So there's two schools of thought here. Number one, some farmers are telling me we're going to do more reseeding this year, get more clover established, get better grass varieties on the farm in order to become more resilient in terms of lower nitrogen requirements in future years. Mm-hmm. Others are saying then, God, listen, I need to retain as much feed that's growing in the farm as possible and either bring that down cows' throats through grazing or else convert it to silage and have it for next winter. I can't afford, you know, they're saying to me, I can't afford to take out, you know, start spraying off field, have it out of production for 2 months, even though they probably grow more grass in that field over the course of 12 months than they would have left it as it was. But, you know, so I'm not surprised farmers are taking that attitude. Yeah. And it's hard to disagree with it either, Jack, you know.
I mean, it's fair to say, Aidan, that on the receding one, like, I mean, it is difficult. But I suppose a lot depends now on growth rates over the next couple of weeks. Like, I mean, it's probably beginning to pick up and warm up, you would say, this week, Aidan, and you're probably beginning to see a little bit of movement. But or is it the case on the very dry farms that they're getting a little bit dried out and kind of there's not the softness in it to get growth coming again on the dry farms?
Yeah, so most farmers are very happy to see that, you know, that dry weather over the last, in fairness, it's been with us over a week now and forecast to continue for another week, which is great, like, because land is drying out very, very well. But the flip side to that is, as you say, those that are on maybe have a lot of grazing done, 80-90% of the farm grazed, they're looking at the little regrowth coming back and there's not many of them there, and this harsh wind is biting at them at the tips, you know. But look, in fairness, Wednesday and Thursday were great days. Today was a good day as well, you know, grotty kind of weather, even though it was very dry. And we're saying, I think it's going to be good, relatively good for the weekend with high temperatures as well. But there's a bit of there's a return to cold weather next week. Then again, you know, it's still going to be dry, but cold. And so I'd be cautious of. Up, you know, the outlook for growth, it is good at the moment. Chagas are predicting over 30 kilos per day for the coming days. You're definitely going to get that the coming days, but it could drop back again to, you know, 20s next week and stuff. So look, we're still in March. Look, we're end of March, but it's still in March. And look, things can change again, you know, and April is a long month, especially if you're looking for grass. So yeah. I'd be of the view to be cautious, Jack, about grass.
Yeah. And I won't get into the fertilizer too much because I know you had a chat with Sean and we listen to that in a minute. But in terms of like end of March, early April can always be, I call it, a hungry time on a lot of dairy farms if they have the grazing done early.
Yeah, and it's a good place to be, you know, because growth is going to take off at some point. We just don't know when. But it's to have enough cover in place an average farm cover in place to get you through that point. Really, I wouldn't be going any earlier than the 5th of April. Some farmers will go a little bit earlier if they have a lot of grazing done, and they have a lot of grazing done in February. And that's a key thing, you know. I harp on there every February about 30% of the farm grazed in February. And it's these days that comes back to say, you know, because that cover, those fields now have a cover of 800 or 900 on them. Like, they're ready to take off. Like, they're going to grow, you know, 15-20% higher than a field with a cover of 50 on it. And it's, you know, it's really luscious, lovely grass. So that has a big bearing on it. Look, it's for me, the 5th of February, 5th of April, I should say, is time enough to start the second rotation. And if you're a higher stock, you maybe need to delay that a little bit further. And if you're lower stock, you can go a bit earlier. But Jack, that's academic for a lot of farmers because February wasn't a great month in many areas. Didn't get much grazing done. And they have heaps of grass in the farm. So all they need worry about now is grazing away to their heart's content. No fear with them. Their issue is actually going to come in April because they might have a short rotation in April because they'd have ground out closed up for silage at that stage.
And in those situations, maybe then
they can go receding.
Sorry, Aidan. Yeah, some of them are saying, some of them probably are even looking at a case where they could go day and night now. They might even be only day only now, but because of the grass that's on the farm, they could be switching into day and night grazing now, even, you know, I mean, even though they might normally do it like at this stage.
Ah, definitely, Jack. And it's something I often ask myself. Like, so if it's dry enough for cows to be out during the day, without bringing them in after a couple of hours now, and that's the case, you know, the grout after eating the milk and to come in before morning, evening, like, why can't they stay out the night? You know, the ground conditions are good enough during the day to be good enough at night. And like other farmers have them out day and night, you know, that longer than that. I know it's ground specific and they're worried about the weather changing, but it's very settled at the moment. I'd say take advantage of it. save the silage that's in the yard at the moment. It'll be very expensive to replace that this year. And you can also save on meal. So cut back to 2 kilos a meal, 3 kilos a meal, go out day and night and hammer away at getting as much of the farm graze as possible.
Yeah. Aidan, 100%, we'll leave it at that. I know you had a chat with Sean McMahon from Grassland Agro. Let's have a listen.
Sean, look, the sun is shining. It's great weather. Obviously, look, there's fertilizer being spread at the moment, but there's also a lot of farmers worried about getting any fertilizer at all this year. Can you give us a bit of an update on maybe some of the supply challenges that are there and what farmers can do at the moment if maybe they don't have enough to go with first cut silage or grazing or whatever else?
Yeah, look, I suppose, thanks for having us on, Aidan. Yeah, look, as you said, there is some fertilizer in yards. There's some farmers still waiting on fertilizer. I suppose just number one is the fertilizer will come. There is a small bit of delay getting fertilizer. There's a few supply chain pressures and that. For instance, we are supposed to have some urea landed in January. It only came a week ago, so it was about 8 to 10 weeks late. So there is a supply issue. It's very hard to source fertilizer at the minute as well for the end of April, May. But we're trying our best. The factories, whenever fertilizer does come, they're working 24/7 to get it bagged, to get it palletized and get it out to farms to fill contracts. So I suppose the important thing is not to panic. Maybe if we have a small bit of fertilizer for silage, we might look at going with a split now and maybe a second split in 10 days' time, 2 weeks' time, not to be waiting on the full amount to go. So maybe a slight change in practice or our management strategy this year, because it's going to be a strange year, Aidan. We mightn't have the type of fertilizer that we would usually have. We mightn't have the quantity of fertilizer that we usually have. So a couple of important things, checking the calibration on the fertilizer spreader, making sure the settings is right, making sure that if we were usually spreading can and we're spreading urea this year, that we get the bulk densities right and we get the correct applications out. So really, really important just to focus on a couple of key issues this year.
So Sean, if I'm reading this correctly, you're saying that if normally you spread, let's say, you know, 5 ton of can, or whatever it is, whatever product, the nitrogen product is for your first cut silage. And if you have no fertilizer in the yard now, but you're, you know, or you only have maybe 2 ton of fertilizer in the yard now, maybe you're saying go and spread that 2 ton and come back then in 2 or 3 weeks' time when you get the extra 5, you know, the extra 3 ton and spread that then, you know, which will equate to 80 or 90 kilos or units of N in total for the silage ground, but you might put that out over 2 splits. Is that correct?
Yeah, so for instance, Aidan, say that we got the fertilizer or that we got the silage ground grazed. We went with a small bit of slurry, say 2,000 gallons, 2,500 gallons. And if we have a small bit of urea in the yard, say if going with a bag, 40 units with a bit of sulfur in it, now and topping it up with maybe a compound or whatever we have in 10 or 2 weeks, 10 days or 2 weeks time. We might have been always going with, say, your 2 bags of urea or your 3.5 bags of cutswort or whatever you're going, but we may not have that now. So I suppose the less nitrogen that we're going at any given time, the less likely we are to have losses. So we might look at splitting nitrogen applications this year. If the product's not there, or not to be panicking and waiting and the farmer saying, oh, I don't have all my fertilizer from my first cut silage, go with a small bit now, wait until your supply is there in 10 days, 2 weeks' time, and then top it up at that stage.
And Sean, are you confident that you know it's going to come, that you're going to get the required amount of fertilizer that farmers are looking for?
Yeah, look, I suppose I can only speak on behalf of Grassland Agro, but we are getting a small drip feed of fertilizer in. It's very hard to source it at the minute going forward, but we are getting a small bit in. But this should have been in before Christmas and in January. Like usually whenever an order goes in for, say, urea, it takes 3 weeks for it to land here in Ireland. Then it takes maybe a day or two to get to the port, get bagged and get heading out to farm. But now it could be taking 10, 12 weeks. So there has been delays. So we're trying our best to get the product out on farm. But we just have to wait for it to come here, unfortunately.
Yeah. Great stuff, Sean. Before I leave it go, any updates, any changes are happening fresh in Grassland Agro? Anything you want to tell our readers and our listeners about?
Yeah, well, we have a podcast there, the Solid Pod, Aidan, that we started there a couple of weeks ago. Just trying to give farmers that wee bit of extra guidance, because it's going to be a strange year. We're covering all different topics from animal nutrition, grassland management, strategies for fertilizer and strategies for the year going forward, because I suppose, as I said earlier, it's going to be a strange year. We would be advising farmers that would usually be maybe going with 40 units or 35 units at this time of year, to not reduce it by too much, because if you look at the grass growth curve, our demand is in, our growth is increasing as April and we get into May, and we can peak at some stage in May. So I wouldn't be cutting back too much at the start of the year. But whenever the soil warms up, whenever there's a small bit of moisture in the soil going forward, the soil release of nitrogen and mineralization will increase as the year goes on. But it's really important to, if we get a chance to go with lime or a soil conditioning product like Fizzlet, to increase that mineralization process and get the most out of our soil into the back end, we should be looking at a few strategies like that to make the most out of the soil release of N.
Right, folks, no doubt a debate that is happening around every farmer's kitchen table right now, what fertilizer to spread. Thanks to Sean McMahon from Grassland Agro for talking to us on that. That's it for another week. Thanks for watching, and indeed, thanks for listening. Thanks to all our own specialists, Adam, Aidan and Darren. Remember, you can watch back any of the recent Tullamore Farm webinars that are broadcast live on a Wednesday night on ifj.ie/webinars. We'll be back again next week. Until then, stay safe and stay farming.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There's stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like wary of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.